Only teenagers.
Out the crackers. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam. Hilchos Yim v'Chalitza Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 2, Law 12, in the Masnayim text, page 34 and 35. And on Eitan's held hand phone, no page.
You may have to mark X-rated on the tapes on these things.
Oh, okay. Okay, Yud Beis. Okay, we're getting to different situations again. Remember, we did say that the oldest brother has first chance at Yivim Chalitza.
Yeah, quite about that.
And the young next ones have after him in no particular order. So now we're going to continue with some other scenarios with multiple brothers over here. Yud Beis. Amar HaGodl, if the oldest brother says, Eini rotza lo liyavin v'lo lachlots, I don't want to do yibum, I don't want to do chalitza, I don't want to do anything. Hare achai lefaneich. And my brothers are before you. In other words, I'm withdrawing from the scene, and I'm letting my brothers get involved over here. That's not right what he's doing, but that's what he's suggesting. So what happens? V'tava osa echad mina achim liyibum. And one of the brothers says, okay, I'll do yibum with her.
Nice guy.
He ain't a right sabba, but she doesn't want him. However, for ratza sabba achacher, but she wants a different brother. For who ratza sabba, and the other brother is okay to take her as well.
Isn't this the same as the previous case?
No, it's not as the previous case.
Why didn't that other brother just step up to the plate first?
He didn't. What, the eldest brother?
No, the second, third brother.
Well. He wasn't as quick on the trigger as the other brother. You know, the other brother just came forth quicker.
This is right.
So in other words, one brother wanted, right? She doesn't want that one. She wants a different one. The other one is okay with her.
Yeah.
So now, remember, yesterday we talked about her being a moredis, right? If the one that wants her, she doesn't want it, she's called a moredis. She rebels, she gets... It's a chalitza and it doesn't get a ksuva, right? But here she's not considered a meredes. Why is she not considered rebellious? Once the eldest is out, he's the main one that had the mitzvah, right? Then, hare kulam sham, they're all equal. All the other brothers are equal now. And she's willing to marry one of the brothers who's equal. Right? V'hova, he wrote Sabachad Mehem, since she wants one of them. V'hu wrote Sabah, and he wants her too. Harezu lo marado. You cannot consider her rebellious. Now, if she doesn't want the Bechor and wants somebody else, then we'll say she's rebellious, because the Bechor, the eldest, he has the one that's front in line.
All the others have equal status religiously.
But the first one doesn't.
I know, I'm saying all the others.
Yeah, but it doesn't help if the first one wants.
No, but that's why she's not rebellious.
But since here, the oldest one doesn't want nothing, so now everybody's equal status, so she's not rebellious. She says, I'm happy to marry one of them, and he's happy to marry me.
Yeah.
Now, so she's not considered rebellious. Again, Rambam doesn't seem to... tell us how to further proceed with this.
Some of locus, it says here.
Yeah. But, you know, does she get to marry the one she wants to marry?
The Rambam says it's after the brother, he's who's first, the eldest, then after, they're all equal. According to the Rambam, but the Ravid and the Shulchan Aruch say no, it should go in order of age.
Right. That's not what we learned yesterday.
I know, but that's...
The Rambam doesn't hold like that.
Oh,
The Rambam doesn't hold like that.
Okay, but that would have changed yesterday's halacha too.
Right, well, the Rambam doesn't agree to that.
We're not reading the Ravid, we're reading the Rambam.
The Rambam says that all after the first one are equal.
Right.
The others say it goes by order, the pecking order. Anyway, so according to them, she would be considered rebellious if it was the older, next oldest who wanted.
Yeah.
But Ram says she's not a rebellious. Not only that, Elim Hoya Echad Mehem Bemedina Acheres. What if one of the brothers was in another country? For Amrin, she says, Hare Ani Mam Tenes also. I'll wait for the other one to come back. I'm willing to wait. Avolzeh, but the one who's here, the other brother who's in town, ain't a Reitza Ba. She doesn't want him. She doesn't want him. In other words, let's say there's two brothers left, right? One's out of town, one's in town. So what do we normally do? We say, let's hurry up and let's get the in-town one to get moving over here. But she says, I don't want the one who's in town. I want the one who's out of town, and I'm willing to wait to see what he has to say. So now, Ein zeh moredes. He's also not considered rebellious. Again, it's the Rambam l'shitaso, because we're not dealing with the eldest brothers over here. For omrim lazeh she'eino hagodol hatoves. And we say the one who's not considered the eldest, who claims her, we say, listen, im tirza lach lotzlav, elitan loksuva chalotz. If you want to give her chalitza, and give her a ksuva, because she's not rebellious, give it to her. But if in love, but if not, she's willing to wait until your brother comes from out of the country. Since you don't have a law of priority, she's entitled to wait. Okay? So in this case, again, let's review. In this case, there's two, let's say, two surviving brothers, and they have equal status, because the eldest, let's say, doesn't want to get involved. There's no eldest. So one guy says, okay, you know, let's get moving over. Says, I'm not interested in you. There's a guy out of the country. I'll wait for him. Right? So she's not considered moredes. Right? But we say to the guy who's here, listen, if you're here, if you want, you give her a chalitz, but you gotta give her the ksuba.
If she does that, then she can't marry that guy.
That's correct. So in other words, we kind of say to the guy, what are you gaining by doing this chalitz? So it's kind of persuading him, what do you want to give her the chalitz for? She's willing to wait for the brother.
If you want to, fine,
but then you're gonna have to be involved in making sure she gets her ksuba. Right? She's not considered moredis. Now, if a guy had with common sense, he'd say, okay, I'm bowing out, and I'll leave it for the brother.
Right.
Now,
because
Ibum is higher than Chalitza.
Right, what?
It's in respect to his deceased brother. Because that's the only way that they can...
Why would they be offering him...
Only way what?
He says the Ibum, because you're actually having a kid.
So she's willing to wait.
I know, but the second brother should let her wait.
It would make sense, but he doesn't have to. He could say, I'm willing to do the Chalitza.
Why would he do that?
You want to finish business.
But the overriding principle is Yibum here. So, like, why not, if you want your brother to be better?
In other words, what are we really telling him? We're really telling him, listen, bud, you have nothing to gain over here. That's what we're really telling him.
Really, that's his brother.
You're not even going to, you might think maybe he'll save on the ksuva. You're not even saving on ksuva, because he doesn't have the law of moredis.
It wouldn't be his ksuva.
But if he doesn't pay it out, he's an inheritor. If you don't pay the ksuva, then who inherits? The brothers. So he has a vested interest in not wanting to lose that ksuva. So we say to him, listen, it's not going to help for you, you know, to get her out of the picture, because you're going to have to pay her out the ksuv anyway. We're not calling her a moredis.
Right.
That's the point. So now the question is, what's the guy going to gain? The guy doesn't have much to gain.
He has lots to lose.
If he insisted, he could say, okay, I still want to give her a chalitza.
Because
okay.
He can marry anybody else. Like, I mean, it's not, doesn't restrict his...
Doesn't have nothing to do. And you're not even going to get the money from the brother, because you have to pay out the ksuv anyway.
So how long...
I don't know how long we wait. That's what we talked about. Yes, I don't know how long.
I know, but what if he's gone like for 10 years or something? She just say I'm waiting.
So here's the difference. Now let's the commentaries reflect back on what we learned yesterday. Halacha test. Let's go back to halacha test for a minute. Halacha test says if the older brother is in another country, right? The younger brothers can't say, you know, let's wait for the older brother. But what do we say? No, you younger brother, either do you even chalitza. So the Mefarshim ask, well, what's going on with it? We said before, we don't wait.
Right.
And here we do wait.
Yeah.
So the answer is, two answers. Number one, over there we're speaking about, the Katan doesn't want to do Yibum. The younger brother in Halakha does not want to do Yibum Chalitza. And he's nullifying the mitzvah in the meantime.
Right.
But here, the brother who's here could do the chalitza.
And wants to.
Yeah. So the mitzvah is not nullified. That's what he's saying. Imtir tzalachos. If you want, you can do chalitza. Number one. Number two, there are some answers. Let's think about this. What's the whole reason in halakha test we don't delay this? Because we don't want to anchor the woman to wait.
Oh, but she's anchoring.
But
herself.
Here she's offering to wait.
She's
if she's willing to anchor to wait, she can wait as long as she wants.
Yeah, it's her that sounds
so I'm willing to wait. You, I can't stand. The other one I thought was pretty nice. So I'm willing to wait. Because I want to have a chance to marry
her. She waits a year or two and nothing happens. She can say, okay, now give me chalitza and divorce?
She, technically, maybe she could. Why not? Because now she wants to move on.
Yeah.
But she certainly, if she wants to wait, she can wait.
It's interesting in how all these halachas were really not focused, like you said yesterday, on building up the brother. We're not building on this mitzvah.
Not insulting people that are alive, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
Listen, people have to, people want people to, again, we can't force people to do the right thing if they're not going to be marrying someone that they want to marry.
But none of these calculations involve the dead brother, basically.
Because the living still take priority. At the end of the day, living get more preference than the dead. We try to respect the dead as much as possible, but not to the point where the living will be suffering for a long time. So here, this one's, I don't want this guy, I want the other one, or whatever it is. So we have to take that much more seriously than the brother. Now, of course, if everyone was altruistic, they didn't care about their own lives, they'll do everything for the deceased brother. But it doesn't quite work that way, because in real life, you know, it's lots of shalom bias problems. You don't want to put together a man and woman who really don't want to be with each other. Right? So that's important. Yud Gimel. Now, it's continuing Yud Beis now. Continuing Beis. What if now, so what did she say? She said, I want to wait for the younger guy. Or whoever. I want to wait for one of the brothers. Right? So now, Bozesh Atol Sabo. So now let's say the one that she was waiting for comes. The one she wanted, he finally come. He came back from China. And guess what? He doesn't want her.
Oh, no.
She waited 6 months. Oh. Chaim Yaakov, I'm so glad to see you. Okay, let's see him. What? I can't stand you. Get out of here. I don't want you.
He thinks she'd know. Okay.
So then what do we do? Chos and Eitzel Zesha Tavo Soliyabim. We go back to the one who he wanted to do Yibim with her. Remember, the other case, this case was a guy wanted to do Yibim with her. She didn't want him. So now that he wants to do it, now he becomes first position. He interrupts what? She doesn't want him. From now, he turned to her and say, "Ain kan mi sharatzu yamel azeh." There's only nobody wants to do yibum with you except for this guy that you don't want. Umitzvus yibum kodemus, and this yibum takes priority. So now we turn to her and say, since there's no other brother wants to do it, we say, "Otis yabemlo." Either do yibum with him. Oh, Tetze below Ksuvo. You leave without a Ksuvo.
She's rebellious now.
Kedin Kol Moret. It's like anyone who's rebellious. Why? Because there's no other brother who wants to marry her except this one. Since she doesn't want to marry the one who wants to marry her, that would be considered a rebellious woman.
She's not having a very good year.
Yes, you're doubt.
It really doesn't seem fair that, you know, he gets to pick the good-looking girl, but she doesn't get to pick the good-looking guy, so to speak, you know?
Listen, everybody. She can still say no.
Yeah, but she doesn't get a ksuva. She was married. I know she got a right that she paid her dues.
So that's the price you pay.
She had a husband. She paid her dues. She was married to him for 20 years.
So?
And now she's got no money. She's got nothing except what her husband wants.
Why did they have a kid after 20 years?
First of all,
he didn't have a kid.
He took care of her for 20 years.
Right.
He took care of her.
So she should live with nothing.
He was impotent.
All because she's got an ugly brother who wants to marry her, and she doesn't want anything
really
to do with the ugly brother.
If you love your husband, you'd do something. You'd want to have a kid, right?
Yeah.
If you married her for 20 years, you love him so much, you'd want to build up his name, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You don't want to build up his name, so sorry. So why should you get a ksuva? You want the ksuva, but not his name to be perpetuated.
There's no parody here, that's all I'm
saying. That's for sure parody.
Yes, there is.
It's for sure parody.
Not
okay, you're Dalit.
This is Howard's idea of parody. God's idea, yes, Howard's idea.
The woman gets the ugly guy, the guy gets the good-looking girl. That's what happens.
The girl can always say no. The girl can always say no, and he gets nobody.
And she gets no money.
So, money isn't everything.
Yeah, money isn't everything.
Come on. Good looks, this is love.
Okay, yes, Shelley.
If while she was waiting for the guy to come back, the brother who said he'd marry her, she said no.
Gave her kafalitza?
He got married. He married somebody else.
Doesn't matter. He got more than one wife.
The Rambam's
days get more than one wife.
How many wives can you have, Shelley?
So it's... Today it's an issue. So supposing it was later on after the decree, you can only have one wife. So
once they make that decree, we only do chalitza. So it became a moot issue.
It's a moot issue anyway.
If he's already in this limit,
he wasn't married.
If he already has four wives, does he have to take on the fifth, or is this like
no? There's no yibum after this.
No, in these days,
yes,
in the ancient,
you could. Didn't matter how many wives he had, did it?
That's just recommended. There are certain scenarios where the rabbis step in, even in the Rambam's time, and say, we do chalitza no yibum. We're not giving people a choice. Remember, we talked about in the beginning of the last parak, if the woman miscarried a child, and we don't know if it was 9 months, full term, this and that, we're all not sure, so we say, better do chalitza no yibum. Remember we had that scenario?
Because it could have been the husband's...
Or it's doubtful, doubtful.
The deceased husband's child.
The deceased husband's child, but it didn't go full term, and we're not sure if it was really a viable
right,
kid, and we're not sure what to do.
To
so he can't do yuma, do chalitza. So now, and there's many more in the next prakim, and further on, there's many more examples. The rabbi said, listen, we're telling you, it's not the man and the woman. The rabbi's saying, this is a case of chalitza no yuma. So once the rabbis have imposed this, that's what I'm saying. If we're in a situation where the rabbis have imposed chalitza and no yibum,
she gets a ketubah
automatically.
How can she be rebellious if they say
so that? I'm saying she gets a ketubah because the rabbis are forcing the issue. If there was a ketubah, what do you mean if there was a ketubah? Because remember, if she was only had a kiddushin from the first husband, she doesn't get a ketubah yet. What if she had a ksuva from the first husband who died before they had a nesuim? There was no ksuva written right. yet, so she doesn't get a ksuva now. But if anything more than that, then she would get a ksuva. That's what he means in yesh lo ksuva. She had, what do you mean if she has? Because in some sense, she doesn't get a ksuva if she was only engaged and not married.
She was only engaged.
But if she was married, she for sure gets the ksuva, kishar kalamonos, like any other widow.
100%.
So if she was only had a kiddushin, no, there's no ksuva given till the nesuin.
Right.
So if there's no ksuva given, so she's out of luck. So we say chalitza, there's no ksuva. But normally we're saying when the bezin steps in and says no yibum and yes chalitza, she gets the ksuva if there is a ksuva to be had.
If he does yibum from erusin, what ksuva does she get? Like
he has to give her ksuva.
He has to give her ksuva.
That's we already learned that. If there is no ksuva, he has to give her ksuva.
If yibum is performed.
Because he can't be married to her, stay married to her without a ksuva.
Exactly. Okay.
So the other cases where she wouldn't have had a ksuva from the husband because he died before the first husband. Right. There wouldn't be anything holding her back from
again,
rejecting.
What?
We mentioned in this case that there was no ksuva.
Right.
But in all those previous cases where she was a rejecter.
Yeah, so she has nothing to lose. You're right.
She has nothing to lose.
You're right.
But they never mentioned that before. Well, they didn't say if she has
But it's
a ksuva,
obvious.
She
if there's no ksuva, there's nothing to lose. It's obvious.
But that was like
then you can be really picky, Paul.
No, there's no penalty
really picky
now.
With no penalty.
What I'm saying is in all those other cases, it was a penalty that
right,
she would have
right,
lost.
Right, 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 right.
But there's no penalty
okay,
for
let's
picking.
Let's go on now. Let's continue. What if a chenim ha'yivamu mukashchin? What if the man she has to fall to is full of boils?
It's somebody, a procedure.
Yeah, whatever. You can't marry him. But it's totally physically so terrible. No one's obliged to marry him. Oshiesh bo shar mumen asher has other very great deformities. As we mentioned in the Hilchos Ishus, if you recall. Remember, you get married and then you find all these deformities, right?
Yeah.
So now, can you expect her to get married?
Chalitza.
No. So what do we do? Chalitza, you give a chalitza. And Benotella Suva, she gets the ksuva because she's not a moretus.
Yeah.
That she has a good reason not to want to marry a guy with leprosy. So she gets a full ksuva. Now what if, now, let's say like this. If let's say the husband dies, she's falling to Yibum, and before the brother is able to marry her, look what happens. No, the Ba Mumin, she develops, after the husband's death, all kinds of deformities.
Huh?
When she's waiting to go to the husband, she's waiting to get Yibum, and in the interim, she suffered all kinds of physical problems.
Oh, no, don't
so remember this expression
got,
we
the
had?
The field got flooded.
Niskav chasadeh, it's an expression. The field got flooded,
oh,
meaning
no.
to say his bad mazel. The man had bad mazel. And now, sorry, buddy, you got a woman that's not too attractive. So, imlo ratzaliyabim, if he doesn't want to do Yibum with her, Yaakov says chalitza.
Give her the
ve'itein ksuva. She gets the ksuva, right? Why? Because she didn't do anything to hold it back. She's not attractive, and then we can't force a guy to marry her. But she did not rebel.
Right.
Right. She, now her physical state makes her very repugnant. Right?
Repugnant
to the man, but that's not her fault. And therefore, you know, we're not going to force him to yibum, obviously. So all these, the common denominator of these cases are, it's kind of a forced chalitza, not by her desire, and she gets to get the ksuva, and she doesn't lose the ksuva.
I want to ask you a question.
There's even no music tonight. Everybody's excited. Yeah, it's good.
I can still hear it reverberating.
If she gets...
It's so much better when people want to learn. See what guys who want to learn.
If she gets a reversible thing that takes about a year and a half, 2 years...
to change over. She develops something. Now what do they do? Because let's say she's repugnant for that year and a half. Do they wait a year and a half, wait till it resolves, and then
if
they
the
do
guy
it?
Would probably be willing to marry her.
Yes.
I guess they'd ask the guy, are you willing to marry her if she turns into a beauty again?
Well, let's say this defect disappears.
You know, they say, yeah, I'd marry then. Then why not wait? She can't get married anyway.
Right.
Who's going to marry her?
So,
right? But, right? She can't get married anyway. Who's going to marry her?
Unlikely.
And if he's willing to, if the guy's not willing, she'd give her a chalitz anyway.
Okay. Does it matter what the sickness is? Like, let's say she has cancer.
No. It'll all be deformed. Somebody would not marry somebody under those circumstances.
Yeah.
You would not marry somebody who you know is going to die in the next.
Cancer.
You know,
the man on the street.
There were other cases about. I think if he's if they have avodah zarah, she has to marry him, something like that. She finds that repugnant. She loses her ketubah.
No, you don't have to marry. You don't marry such a guy. You don't marry.
No, there were some cases of the brother who was really. It wasn't so.
Oh, I don't remember now. I can't remember everything.
I mean, this is a broad spectrum of lines here. Wow. She could be in a car accident, lose a limb.
You're right. You know, so a guy doesn't have to marry her. What do you want?
She loses a finger.
Okay.
And he has to marry her.
So we went through the Rambam earlier. Hilchos Ish just talked about all those deficiencies that make it that the person is repugnant.
Right. Okay. This last line, Matt. Sorry. But they say he performs chalitza and gives her the money. I mean, wouldn't that happen for whatever reason why he refused her, if he refused her just because he didn't?
No, because the point, the Chiddush Rambam is, because there's something inherently wrong with her that's causing him to want to give her a chalitza. So I might have thought, since the problem is in her, she loses the ksuva. The Chiddush of the Rambam is, cause of the problem, but since she's not at fault, that's the Chiddush that she gets the ksuva.
Right. Thank you.
Tesva, Yevama, here's an interesting case. Shinadra Hanoya Miyavama Bechayibala. Let's say this woman, when she was still married to her first husband, she was very not happy with her brother-in-law. And she makes a vow, I hate your guts so badly. I don't want you to have any Hanoa from me ever.
Ooh.
Now, she figures she's married to her first husband. It means, okay, I'm never going to cook you dinner, whatever, right? That's what she figures, right? Or she makes a vow, I don't want to give Hanoa to any Jew in the world.
Whoa.
Okay? Meaning to say, Hanoa meaning I'm not going to be intimate with anybody. Okay? Now, in the first case, in other words, let's look at the two cases. The first case, she said, I don't want you to have Hanoa from me, period. She didn't specifically say intimacy, because obviously, she doesn't figure her husband's going to die.
Right?
Second case, she says, she says, I don't want to have intimacy with anybody because she finds it very uncomfortable to do this. And here's the issue. She really doesn't want to be too intimate with her husband either. She's, she is frigid or whatever.
Maybe that's why they didn't have a kid.
She does, whatever. Could be. She's not in with the husband. So the husband's getting a little suspicious. How come you don't want to go to bed? She says, listen, I'm making a netter. I don't want to sleep with anybody.
It's not you.
It's everybody. I'm a little, don't take it personally. No, that's where she makes the vow. The husband might, if you're a husband and a wife doesn't want to be with you, what's your first suspicion?
That's wrong with me.
No.
Somebody else.
She's with somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? So to allay the husband's fears, she's saying, I made a hanamak, I have no intimacy with anybody. So now don't feel so bad, husband. It's not that, I've got somebody else in the works. I don't like to do it with anybody. Okay. So now, why would these scenarios just in a minute? Alright? Now, so those are the first two cases. Now guess what happens? Now the husband dies. The husband dies. And who's left? The brother. Mm-hmm. Now, based on either one of the two vows, first vow was she said to the brother, and she didn't think the husband was going to die. She says, I don't want you to have any pleasure from me. Well, I guess he can't
it's
be.
The other way around it, he doesn't get any pleasure from him.
Shinadra Hanoi Miyavama? She doesn't get any pleasure from him? Is that the way it is? When during her first, a Yavama takes a vow from her, I'm sorry, her from deriving. Okay. Or from all Jews. Sorry. Okay, same effect. She says, I'm not going to have a Noah from my brother-in-law, or I don't want to have a Noah from any Jew. Okay, thank you. So now the husband died. So now she can't have a Noah from this brother.
Maybe it's not a pleasure.
No, well, it is a pleasure. It is. A tashmish is a pleasure, generally speaking. Yes. So what do? So she cannot be intimate with him. Now, did she purposely, when she made the vow, was that with a purposeful intention to not be with that brother?
Not for the brother, no.
No, because when she made that vow, she never expected that to happen. So now it's a scenario where you cannot do yibum. What's our option? Chalitza.
No, Chalitza cannot null a vow. Because now the situation has changed. In the vow. If you would have known this, would you have made that vow at that time?
That's a good point.
Well, the Rambam's not giving us that that option, Martin. I don't know why.
I like that one.
I don't know why. Rambam's not giving us that option.
It's not God versus Martin.
Rambam says, Kofin also, Shiachla. So we force him to give her Chalitza, Vitito, Ksuvasa, and she gets her Ksuva. Why? Because the reason she can't have Yibum is because of the vow, and she's not a Moretis because she never intended to do that. Now, Martin is raising a great question. Let's go to the rabbis. If you would have known that your husband would have died, would you have made that vow?
Sounds like a textbook case of that. You wouldn't think this through.
So, good question. Does your commentary ask that?
No, it doesn't ask.
That's a really good question, Martin.
Thank you.
Next edition.
That's a good question.
Maybe 11 footnote.
Maybe on yours.
No, it's the same as this. Same
it does say in the footnote, though, that she would not benefit from in her husband's lifetime. Maybe that makes a difference. I don't know.
Yeah, it's after her husband's lifetime.
That's only for during his lifetime. But that's only in the footnote.
Then it should be you.
Yeah. Anyway, well, let's go on. Now, let's do the next scenario. What if Ibn Adra Lacher Mrs. Bob? What if after her husband died, she makes these vows? Well, now, obviously, why would she make this vow after her husband died and she knows she has to fall to Yibim to this guy? Because she doesn't want to fall to Yibim to this guy. Okay, so now, and this one you couldn't be Mata the Netter.
She has all the information.
It's a bit of tight information.
That was her intention.
It's a tight situation.
Right?
Sort of loophole.
So, therefore, what do we do? Mevakshin mimenu. Shiachla, so we ask the guy to give her chalitza. It's interesting. We don't force it. The case before is we force him to do the chalitza. Here we ask him to give chalitza. Ve'im lo ratza, and if he doesn't want to, mean to say, in other words, when does she become a moredis? When does she become?
Only if he offers you.
Only if he wants even she says no. So the rabbis try to get her out of being a moredis. So he kind of say nicely, listen, mister, you know, she made the vow, she's kind of stuck. Even though she made it because she doesn't want to be with you, but how about do us a favor? Don't demand Yibum. So now, and just do a chalitza, and she won't be considered a moredis.
That's a big favor.
And she gets
Bim lo ratza. But what if the guy says, no, I don't like her, and I want to do Yibum.
Well, no,
just
that,
to spite her.
First, she made a vow against him.
Yeah,
and now
I understand.
She's
a high raise of moredis. She's a moredis.
So
we force her to chalitza, and she does not get a ksuva. Right.
So can you make a vow against halacha? Can you say, like, isn't she contradicting halacha? Why is it even chal?
No, because you could always do chalitza.
Yeah, that's more than halacha.
She's not being mavatul lemisa. This is chalitza. Remember, she could have just sits tailing on saying, I don't want to be with you, but she's trying to do this to not lose the ksuva. She's not nullifying the mitzvah of the Torah. Now, and what if she meant with her neder, that's when the husband was alive, and we know she meant to not be with the brother, so she'll never fault him. If we know that was her intention, same thing. We don't force her to give her a chalitza and to give her a ksuva, right? Because the guy could say, I want to marry her, and that's her problem, right? So she's causing the problem. Ella imkain morda, unless she really rebels, if it takes a ksuva, and she does not get a ksuva. Okay? So...
But he is forced then.
But he has to get
because he has to give her the chalitza. He's afterwards.
So we don't force... In other words, if he wants to, he could do yibim.
Yeah.
Okay.
But same thing. Ain kofin also. We don't force him chalitza.
So what is the status then?
So now, what does he want to do with her?
It's the same.
So if he says, I want Yibum, and she says no, she's a moredis.
Right.
And if he gives her a chalitza, then
exactly
she's okay.
Same,
Ella imkain, unless morda, she rebels, vitates it, luksuva, and then she goes out with luksuva.
It's identical.
But we don't force him.
Right. Yes, we don't.
Just
force
like before him. We said we don't force. It's interesting. Before he said, mevakshim imenu, we asked him.
We request.
Because there she made the vow when they weren't married, and we didn't know what was against him personally, right? But, she did it after. Yeah, same thing. So it's interesting why the Rambam doesn't use the same lashon. We ask him. We say, in kofin, we don't force. I don't know why it doesn't say ask him, but tantamount comes to the same halacha.
There's a footnote that says basically that if she made the vow after he died, her husband, then we assume that her intention was to get out of her.
Yes, but still we don't force him to give her a chalitza. And he could still, but it would be a good thing if he gave her a chalitza because then she still gets the ksuva. Okay. Right.
Guys. Yeah, I forgot to ask him about you.